Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junks, live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We will be joined by head coach Ron Rivera of the Washington football team. Coming up in just about 20 minutes, he will be on the show at 8:25.
And, you know, we can ask him about the controversial call last night. We put it up as the Junkies Poll of the Day, brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Do you kick the field goal to tie the game, or in fourth and inches when you have a chance to win it, do you go for it? The Bills opted to go for it, and Josh Allen slipped, so the Titans end up winning the game. But you can vote on our poll there. At Junks Radio on Twitter.
Look, if he had Josh Allen, a quarterback of that size, he might, but I'm guessing he's not going to go quarterback sneak with Heinicke.
It's kind of a split amongst our fans. Last I checked, I think 54% it's 57% say are in favor of going for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think coach, you know, I'm sure he gets, he's influenced by analytics, but I think he's very much a feel guy too.
He gets tingles.
So, yeah, I think
coached by feel and tingles.
And I think the feel of that game from McDermott's side is the Titans, every time they had the ball, were scoring.
Right.
Four touchdowns in their last six drives and a couple of field goals. So the you feel like your defense can't stop them.
The thing I'll say is anytime you're within inches, it's hard to argue to not go for it. When you know what I mean? If it was 2 yards, that might be a different scenario. I don't know.
Was it a legit yard or was it inches?
No, it was inches. That's the thing. It was inches.
Josh Allen actually dove for the first down on their third down play. He scrambled and he actually dove, and there were three tacklers that met him, and literally probably 6 inches.
Well, look, I mean, obviously, like you pointed out, the percentages, the math is on McDermott's side, but if you don't get it, people are going to question it.
All right, so I wanted to bring up this story that I read over the weekend that just scared the poop out of me. And I don't know if you guys had the same reaction a few years ago when China hosted the Olympics. Remember? And they brought, I can't even remember what
the
year
show
that was.
Of force.
Yeah, remember? The what
Olympics.
Year was that? What year?
2008.
Was that 2008? No.
Are you sure London was 2012, 2016?
It's been 13, Rio, 14 Rio. Years. Well, okay, that's amazing. Wow. I just remember when China hosted the Olympics, and they brought all those Chinese dudes, and they were beating on those drums, and there was a million of them. It was
all in unison.
It was the most intimidating. It was the scariest. I was like, oh, my God. You want to talk about a show of force? That was amazing. An incredible performance.
A marching band got shook.
Yeah, you know why? Because it was like 10,000
you know,
of them.
Tommy I mean, Lee it was greater than all those dogs together, in my opinion.
So you don't remember feeling that way?
No, of course. I don't.
You don't think we
ceremonies.
Could pull it off if we hosted?
I'm not sure. That was a spectacular show. They had like thousands of Chinese guys all in perfect sync, and I was like, "Whoa!" So I remember talking about it. I remember talking about That's it right. on the air. Like that was intimidating. Okay, and here we are.
You were now, shook.
I
wasn't the only
that.
One. I wasn't the only one. So here we are in 2021, and I'm reading, and apparently in August. Now, China's denying this, of course, but they lie about everything.
Yeah.
So they tested cakes. They had us shook. They tested a nuclear-capable hypersonic missile. So we've always been secure in the idea.
Explain the def.
You're asking the wrong guy.
It goes a ridiculous amount of speed. I mean, I read the article. It looks like something from Independence Day.
So faster than the normal missile.
Way faster.
Okay, it's like six times the speed of
sound,
light,
I would guess.
Or sound or
hyper.
Whatever it is. Yeah, so hypersonic.
Sonic.
Right. And also, apparently, it evades all of our Space Wars technology, all the stuff where we can, you know, where we can see these things coming. But we've always been secure in the idea that we're blessed geographically as a country. Right, we're so far away from like North Korea, some of our enemies, you know, China that we compete with. Yeah. So hold on,
it's Jason. Five times the speed of sound. If that means anything,
five times.
To you.
Right. All right.
I thought it was six, but five times. Okay. So we've always been blessed geographically.
It's definitely like an Under Armour commercial.
It does.
And we've always figured that they're not going to really, they're light years away from having some missile that can really reach us. Maybe they can dock off California. We don't really care about California except for Cakes. He's the only one who cares.
We don't care about one of the biggest states in our union.
Yeah.
Well, we don't care about California.
I'll keep my opinion.
You can't lose Pebble.
Yeah. So,
kidding me?
But we've always felt secure being so far away from it. They just said, take your security and shove it. And they just took that hypersonic missile and it circled the globe. Okay.
Did it really?
The entire globe. And then it landed wherever they won. Now, they say it did miss its landing by a dozen miles or so.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's not really exactly where it's going.
Yeah, just 12 miles.
Right. But and then meanwhile, we were completely caught with our pants down, had no idea they had that kind of technology. And
it looks like a lightning bolt. Like when I saw the story a few days ago, the pictures, it's almost like a lightning bolt coming straight down.
Yeah, I saw the picture. I didn't even know what I was looking at.
Just you know what? Just another reason why working in D.C. is way overrated, because
it's always been a big target.
Where is there a bigger bullseye than right here, right now?
I know I always was secure in the idea, well, they can land it over in California maybe if it stretches.
Yeah.
Now they prove we go around the globe and drop that blicky wherever we want.
You think they're not going to put an infrared target on the Capitol Dome? Which, last time I checked, you could walk there in 5 minutes from here.
Yeah.
Will you protect this house?
Hey, Drabby, that's not intimidating.
It's a little more intimidating than this drum set that's going on.
The marching band?
Yeah.
Is this actually from the Olympics?
Yeah.
This is what you liked right here.
No, but I didn't like it.
Well, you're intimidated.
I was scared by it.
I thought you told me there was like a low profile. They couldn't detect it on radar.
Correct.
Well, because they call it a glide. So it gets into orbit and then it went around, it glides, and then they decide when to drop it, I guess. But it did miss its target by 24 miles.
That's what I said.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, why would we admit that we're surprised by it? Why are we admitting
publicly?
Well,
just off the record, admitting that. No one's saying it on the record.
Well, where are you getting that off the record?
Well,
They're telling reporters.
They're telling reporters.
I mean, we know about 1% of what's going on in our military.
Right.
But yes.
Here's a congressman.
And we know probably even less of what's going on over there.
Congressman.
Oh, I agree with that. But I guarantee we've got something.
Of course.
Similar.
You know what? Someone snap a pic of like some big silly plane that we have secret. That'll make you feel good.
Yeah, I don't feel too good right now. Put it that way.
A congressman, part of the Armed Service Committee, said it should serve as a call to action.
Yeah, wake-up call. It's a wake-up call.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what it is.
Exactly right. It should be a call
to
action.
But, you know, we always hear all these reports about UFOs. It seems like every couple of days there's some wacky story. UFOs. It's our military coming up with stuff. It's eventually going to be drone wars.
I don't believe in UFOs. I don't believe there are aliens on some other galaxy. I think hogwash. Sorry, I'm old school.
What's the Tom Cruise movie where they were coming out of the streets?
War of the Worlds?
War of the Worlds.
Yeah. I don't believe it for a second.
Those things don't exist.
I don't believe in aliens.
I don't believe it either, but...
Don't believe in UFOs.
Well, UFOs don't mean aliens. They mean unidentified.
They mean military.
It could be anything.
That's what I think it is, typically. But I am intimidated by China.
China.
I did read that the future of nuclear weapons is... They want to cut down on the radioactive part of it. So they're just going to send these rods down from space, basically. You shoot them up into space, and they come down with such force that they slam into the ground so hard that it just wipes out everything in like a 10-mile radius, but doesn't kill 7 million people.
Does it? So it kills fewer. Maybe only 100,000.
Yeah, or something. Yeah.
And it doesn't have like Chernobyl like effects for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. To minimize death on a grand scale, but
I think we'd still be screwed over here.
Yeah.
I'm reading this. American officials have expressed grave concern in recent months that China may move to retake control of Taiwan by force in the near future.
Oh, they talk about that every day.
So they want Taiwan.
Yes.
They don't need a hypersonic missile to take over Taiwan.
No.
Beijing considers China. The isolated democracy to be nothing more than a renegade province of the mainland's government.
Normally, I wouldn't care. I'd say, like, you know what? You do you. I'm doing me right here. Silly Kensington. I'm money. But apparently in Taiwan, that's where they make all of our chips, all of our semiconductors.
Chips.
Not Wavy Lay's chips.
Oh, Wavy Lay's so
good.
No.
Like, it's
semiconductors.
Yeah,
like, you need them.
That we're completely reliant on.
Right.
100% reliant on.
So they want to affect that.
Here's what I'm doing on China.
We'll just have to, you know what? We'll just move it somewhere else.
Snoozing.
If they take over Taiwan, we'll get them somewhere else.
I don't know. I just think it's scary. It's so. Can you imagine?
I'm more concerned about the big freighter ships that are out in the middle of ocean.
Right.
And if I need to get, flooring, it's going to take 6 months because it's sitting out there in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
That's what issue. I'm worried about.
You know, supply chains.
Let's get Ohio State's band and we'll film it and so that they can see it.
Send it back
and we'll send it back to them. We'll dot the I. We'll have that guy.
Who's got the best marching
Ohio
band?
State? Why not Maryland's marching band?
Got the best one? Who's got the most famous
It's
got to
be like Southern or something like that, right?
Ohio State's got a big one.
Yeah.
Well, I just know they have a big one.
Yeah. They got more rhythm.
Like North Carolina A&T or something.
No, but who's got like the biggest, most famous one? It's got to be like a Big Ten school or something, right?
I would say Ohio State.
I just know Ohio State size.
Send them the picture of the big Purdue drum that they bang on all the time. We have a bigger drum than you.
No, we'll show them video of that guy with the hat and it's touching the ground. Isn't that what Ohio State, don't they do that?
I know what you're referencing. It's very weird and geeky, yes.
It looks like the Fighting Texas Aggie Band is a 300-plus member military marching band.
Dude, the Chinese laugh at that.
I didn't think about that show
in the Olympic ceremony
for 1 second.
No, we talked about it on the air.
Okay, maybe, but after the Olympics, I didn't think about it 1 second.
Yeah, no, of course not.
Notre Dame has a good band.
You're still intimidated by it.
Yes,
Notre Dame has a big band, 400-plus members.
Maybe they're intimidated by
the Irish Guard that comes.
Maybe
out.
They're intimidated by Enter Sandman at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that's
what we said.
That's a show of force
there.
Bring them out
and jump around from Wisconsin.
Take that, China.
Right back at you.
That's what we do.
Send all the best college fight songs.
Yeah. See our army victorious.
Is this from, like, Comcast?
I don't know. It's YouTube Maryland fight song band.
Y-M-A-N-D Maryland. Well. Over China.
Mark Turgeon loves it.
He does love that song.
I totally had flashbacks to being back like at Cole and Comcast.
Now, they didn't play that song a ton when Iowa was scoring a bunch of touchdowns the last time I was at Maryland Stadium.
I bet you they didn't.
Played it once that I can remember.
God, they made Iowa look so good. We should play that every time we talk about the Terps. We got to play that every time we talk about it.
All right.
Got to play the song.
But I told you.
Is there a sad version?
Where's your brother? We'll bring the band.
Forget about the football team. We're going to be talking about Fats Russell and all those guys. Right. And who's the Georgetown transfer? Q Wahab?
Don't know.
They got all kinds of transfers.
I'd have to look at the roster.
And which one stayed? Eric Ayala stayed. Marcel left.
Yeah, Ayala stayed.
Marcel went to Lake.
Marquette.
Yes. Right.
Like they're going to
let him play point or whatever?
I don't know.
I think that was his deal.
I get sized that Turge hosted a crab feast.
Of course you do. Where was your invite?
I don't know.
You should have been there. I mean, if anybody's going to get an invite to a crab feast, you're the guy.
You don't know that on Friday around noon, Rakim Jarrett was in this studio.
I heard that.
Shooting the commercials.
Was he really?
Why? For what?
Has
he got some NIL deal?
Yeah. I think it was with a bank or something.
Oh, really?
Or a log firm. I don't know.
I mean, he's already got a deal with Jimmy Seafood, right? I mean, he's stacking up his endorsement portfolio. Good for
him. He's tiny, right? He's not big.
Not very big. He's not tiny. He's like 6 feet tall.
He's 6 feet?
But like well-built. Looks like a silly athlete.
Can
he get more than one catch against Minnesota?
He's going to be playing on Sundays in a few years. Yeah. He's silly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason he was a five-star recruit that Loxley somehow convinced to come to Maryland.
Well, he should have gone to Bama. That's where he should have gone.
Well, give Loxley credit.
I know. He got him here.
Are we ever going to be able to be competitive? I refuse to believe that we can never do it, because there have been years where we did it before.
It's just,
but there were fringe years where we beat Tennessee in a bowl game.
That's when they're in the ACC. Yeah. The ACC was okay, but still, easier sledding.
There was a year when we beat, correct me if I'm wrong.
Outliers.
I know, but there was a year we beat Penn State, Michigan State, and one other. I can't remember who it was.
They went on the road at Michigan that year?
Maybe.
Outliers.
I know.
Consistently, no.
I think that was the year that that they didn't shake hands at Penn State before the game.
Right.
There's a lot of bad blood there.
But you remember that year? They beat three of them. It was definitely Penn State, Michigan State, and maybe it was
Michigan on the road.
And that's fine. Down years for them, whatever. The way we're playing right now, when we play the real teams, we look like we don't deserve to be in the same division.
That was correct. Randy Edsel's. That was the crest of the wave for Randy Edsel.
Yeah.
That season. How could it not have been? All right, we're going to hook up the listeners right now. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You're going to get a pair of tickets to WWE Live Holiday Tour Tuesday, December 28th at Capital One Arena. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. You can get more information at Ticketmaster.com. So 10th caller right now wins those tickets. Coming up next, Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team here on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Joined now on the BetQL guest hotline by Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team, presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Absolutely the best. For absolutely the best service, call 877-CALL-FUR or visit FHFUR.com. Good morning, coach. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
It's good. You sound like you're chipper right now. You've had a couple days to unwind. I wanted to ask you about decision-making, and not in your game, just kind of in general. So we know everybody's aware of analytics and probabilities. I don't know if you watched the ending of last night's game. Came down to a 4th and inches. The Bills could have opted to tie the game with a short field goal. Instead, they went for it. I believe win probability was a 23%. You're more likely to win going for it there with Josh Allen winning the game versus going to overtime, coin flip. Give me Ron Rivera's thought process if you're in a situation like that.
Well, a lot of it just depends on the flow of the game, how you feel about the game, how you feel about your team. And again, you never know. I mean, to sit here and, to me, think that all situations are the same and everybody's got to stick to the analytics, you got to be careful because the one thing I've learned is figures lie and liars figure.
Well, do you have somebody in your ear on situations like that that says, hey, the odds are 75%? You go for it here on 4th and 1 versus a punt or whatever the situation may be.
Yeah, what's the process for you?
Yeah, we do. We have an analytics guy that will give me certain clues
right.
as to what's happening with the analytics, and then from there I got to make the decision. You know, I will say this in my past when the probability's been about 75%, I've gone for it and it's been successful. And I've gone for it when the probability was 95%, and we got stopped.
Right.
So,
of course.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just how it works out. You never know because somebody goes, oh, you're going to make it 9 times out of 10. Well, what if you're that one time? What if you're that 1 out of 10 that doesn't?
And it costs you the game.
Right.
Exactly. You right. just don't know. And so you have to, in my opinion, take in all the information you can and then make your decision based on what you've seen and how it's been.
Well, that leads us, obviously, and we didn't plan it this way, but obviously everyone was questioning why you decided to punt with however many minutes were left there in the fourth. And then, you know, what were we down, 11 at that point? I can't remember exactly what we were down in the fourth quarter. What was going into your thinking there on fourth down? And then we ultimately, you know, we just couldn't slow them down.
Well, you know, again, it's how I feel about the flow. To me, if I believe we can do something, I'm going to go with what I think we right. can do. That's, to me, part of the decision making.
What was going in your ear, though? Who was the analytics guy talking to you on that call?
Well, yeah, because what he'll do is he'll say the probability here at this is this. At this distance on fourth down, this is what the probability is.
He's not telling you the probability to win the game or whatever. He's telling you the probability to convert this down and distance.
Correct, because what happens is based on the analytics,
right.
if you do this, they tell you the probability is converting is this.
Right.
And then the probability changes if you do convert it. The probability changes if you don't convert it. You just, right. you know what I'm saying? So right. there's really nothing sitting there saying, guess what, dude? This is 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
It's impossible.
Coach, for sure.
Is that person on the sideline with you, or are they up in no. a booth watching overhead?
Yeah, they're in the booth. Okay. They're in the booth with the coaches, and he has his numbers. And I will tell you this, he is very good at what he does.
Can you tell us what the number was, what he told you? Do you remember?
No.
No, you don't remember, or no, you don't want to tell us?
No, hey, there's some things that the more we keep secret, the better. Yeah, I can't be telling everybody what, you know, certain numbers are, because people listen. You guys are worldwide.
That is true, Coach.
Hey, Coach, we're definitely going to get to the defense in this game, but I wanted to ask about the offense, and we talked about this yesterday. I don't know what the game plan was like, but it just looked like Taylor was he was throwing a lot more checkdowns yeah. and screens in this game as opposed to other games. Was that just a personnel thing, or was that the design for that particular game?
I think it was more so some of the things that he saw. You know, one of the things that we have on our plays for the most part, as far as passing is concerned, is we do have a progression that he goes through. Right. A couple times, you know, he might have hung a little bit too much on one of his reads, or he got off of it too quickly. And sometimes when you do that, that's what happens. And unfortunately, I thought he came off a couple of them a little bit too quickly. And again, as a result, you know, he made the decisions he did. But, you know, again, he's still trying to win. It's just that, again, it's these are the calls, and he'll read through the progressions as he sees fit, and, you know, we'll correct those things or we'll applaud him on those things.
Talking to Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera here on the Junkies. Now, we haven't spent much time talking about him, haven't heard that much about him, but where is Fitz right now? Is he close
to being back? He's still in his rehab, still, you know, going through his rehab program.
So do you think he's 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away? Is there a timetable?
No, there is no timetable. I don't want to put a timetable on players that are coming off of offer injuries, because sometimes if you don't hit the timetable, then everybody goes, oh, I thought you said this. And then sometimes you don't want to put something in a player's mind where he has to do something, and now all of a sudden he's come out too soon.
No, I get that. But if he is 100%, will he start over Taylor?
Well, I'll cross that bridge when we get there.
What's your vibe on that?
Well, again, we'll see how things are going. There's a lot of thoughts on that, but to me, the biggest thing is, again, we'll see where the team is at that point.
Right.
Can I ask you this? Do you agree with this perception? And my perception is that what makes Taylor special is, like, obviously his guts, his determination, his knowledge of the offense, that sort of thing, but also his legs. Right.
Yes.
And this week is kind of what Jason was alluding to. You know, I didn't see that, like, design plays, and even just when it breaks down, like, take off, dude. Like, I know you got to be careful. And I think he's been smart about it, Coach, this year. Like, I think maybe since the first week or two, he's sliding, maybe even a little early, but I, you know, he's protected himself, and that's good. But that's That's why he is Taylor Heinicke and why we get excited watching him. When he just drops back and he does an Alex Smith impersonation, it doesn't work for me as a fan. I don't know how it works for you as a coach.
No, and I don't disagree with you because, again, that's one of the things that really makes him successful is that when he can extend a play, whether it's by running and picking up the first down or just staying alive and allowing his guys downfield to get open, that gives us a chance if a play breaks down. And that's one of the things that, you know, again, I want him to consider to do as long as he can take care of himself and be smart. I don't disagree. I thought he hung in the pocket a lot this past game. I think he was trying to make things happen downfield. One thing I will say this, I do know they mush rushed him a couple times in terms of one of their guys was seemed to be assigned to him. And when he started to break, you could see that guy come off and fall back inside. So that might have been something that might have kept him out of it. I thought one of their DBs, had a spy on him a couple of times as well because you saw this guy basically what they call a hole player just floating over the top of him a couple times as well.
Right. Okay, that makes sense to me. Why no? It doesn't seem like even some of our slow guys around the league they'll throw in a few RPOs. How come we haven't really seen that? Maybe you haven't. I haven't caught it, but I haven't seen that.
Yeah, you haven't caught it. We have the RPOs. For the most part, he's either handed it off or thrown it.
But he does have you do have that ability, and that you think we'll see that this year at some point.
Well, again, a lot of that's decision making. You know, we put that in the quarterback's hands. If he goes to stick the ball in the running back's gut and he sees the defensive end crash down, he'll pull it.
Okay.
If he sees the defensive end staring at him, he'll go ahead and hand it off. If as he's going through the RPO of the progression, he's reading, he sees the safety come diving down, he'll throw it over the top of him. Or the linebacker sucking up, he'll throw it over the top of him. You know, so again, when you run the RPOs, you run the zone reads, it's all about the quarterback decision-making. And
so he has that freedom.
Yes, he does. Oh, yeah, most certainly. I mean, again, it's about what he reads and what he sees.
Coach, in this game, I thought McLaurin would put up bigger numbers. I know he had that one drop, but it just seemed like you couldn't get the ball to him. You had two or three catches early, but the rest of the game, he was kind of quiet. Now, was that something that Kansas City was doing defensively, or was Taylor missing him?
I thought Taylor missed him a couple times. Now, I will say this. He threw that nine route. I think it was the third play of the game.
Right.
And it was just off of Terry's fingertips. The one you allude to that he dropped, that was just a touch behind Terry and low.
Right.
If that had been a catch, it would have been a spectacular catch. And then he had another one that I thought, again, he threw to Terry that Terry almost made a spectacular catch where he tried to jump over the top of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried to get the ball to Terry, but there were also a couple that he missed, and he knows he does because, again, Terry's one of those guys that if you have the ability to stay on him, you should because he's going to win. He's done a great job for us, and you know, again, you watch the tape and you listen to his explanations, and they make sense a lot of times, too, when he talks about why he went from one read to another.
Coach, you have to be thrilled with Ricky Seals-Jones stepping in for Logan Thomas. I'll be honest, when I saw his name on the transaction report a few months ago, like him being picked up, I was like, Ricky Seals-Jones, you're adding this guy to the room? But he's been a bit of a revelation for you guys on offense with Logan sidelined.
Yeah, he has. And again, you know, if you go back and watch what he did in the preseason, remember, he had a good preseason. He really did. He had good practices during training camp. I know he was a late ad going into camp, but the only thing Ricky's done is just improved each week. Now, I tell you this, though, and I love this about players, you know, and talking to Ricky and talking about, hey, he did a great job. He's, yeah, but you know, coach, I got to be better at this. But that's great to hear because you know a guy like that is working at it. So Ricky has been a good find for us, and he's been a good addition to that room.
Joined by Coach.
And to be honest with you guys, I was very happy with John Bates.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good old JB. There you go.
I think people were afraid to tell you that. Bateman.
No, you know what, though? I mean, what I do, too, and I don't know you guys know, but when I start off in OTAs and minicamps, I tell the story about when I was in San Diego and I kept calling the players by the wrong name for a whole season, and he never corrected me. And so I tell the players the same story. If you don't correct me, that's your name.
Yep. Right.
Did you apologize to John Bateman?
Oh, yeah. I saw him the other day, and I saw him walking through the hallway, and I said, hey, Bateman. And he kind of looked for a second and then kept walking. I said, that's right, I'm talking to you, Bateman. He looked at me, I said, hey, I got to apologize. I said, for like the last month and a half, I've been referring to you as Bateman. And I said, nobody's corrected me until the other day.
Until the junks.
Yeah. Talking to Coach
junks had to do it.
Talking to Coach Ron Rivera from the Washington football team. All right. We got to talk about the defense. So
yes.
32nd in the league in points per game, 31st in yards per game. We noticed 2 weeks ago you went with the five-man front. This week, maybe a more traditional look. You mentioned in your presser after the game that you're going to face a similar type of quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. What are you seeing from this defense that has fallen so far from last year?
Well, one of the things that, you know, we saw again, watching the tape, you know, all the way on up to the five-minute mark in the third quarter, a lot of positive. You know, we saw the things that we were doing right, things that we were doing really well. And then we get into this the last portion of the game, and you watch the mistakes, unfortunately. You got to give them a little bit of credit on the other side. They did a couple things as far as adjustments and their protections. And the biggest thing, more so anything else, though, was their quarterback, you know, moving around in the pocket, eluding the pocket, stepping out of the pocket, and making plays downfield. I mean, he throws the ball completely across the field. It's almost ridiculous the things that he's capable of doing, and you got to give him credit, too.
Why did Jamin play so much more this week? He played only like 13 snaps the week before, and then this week I think he played maybe the most of his career so far. Yeah. The cynical part of me thinks that's just you trying to shut us jerks up, you know, so we stop bringing him up every week.
No, I mean, honestly, as I told you guys last week when you asked me about it, I said, guys, this is about game planning and seeing where guys fit and where they are in terms of his development, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. This past week called for playing a little bit more of the traditional two linebacker and three linebacker defenses. And again, it's a lot by personnel and matchups. You know, this week's going to be interesting. Like I said, got a very similar quarterback, but they use a lot more different personnel groupings than what Coach Reed did. You know, for the most part, Coach Reed was what we call, you know, 12 and 11 personnel. You know, this week watching Green Bay right now, you see 21, 12, 22, 13, 10, 11 packages. So, we're going to have to match up, and again, it is about being able to match the personnel. So until we get together later today and start talking about, you know, what personnel matchups we want to make, there's no telling as to, you know, if you can expect to see Jamin get as many as he had last week or as few as, you know, 15 to 18 or 20. But I will say he was very productive this past week, liked a lot of things that he did make a couple errors, but I will say this, there was a play, I don't know if you guys remember, when Mahomes broke contain and you saw Jamin close on him.
Saw that speed, yes. Yeah. We saw that play. That one jumps out at you when you see it.
That's one of the big reasons why he's here, because he is dynamic. He is explosive when he gets downhill and attacks the ball. And that's what we want to see more out of him as he continues to get opportunities on the football field.
What can we do, you know, as a fan? So I'm a Washington fan, right? So I'm sitting there living and breathing with these teams. What can we do better on third down? The third down conversion rate, it's disgusting.
Well, what we got to do is we got to continue to connect to the receivers. You know, early on in that game, we were able to connect and run with these receivers, but as the quarterback extends the play, you can see, you know, it break down, because that's a long time. It's a lot to ask of your DBs. Secondly, we can be better with coordinating the rush. And a great example of the rush not being coordinated is when you saw Mahomes get through the line and extend the pass play. That's one of the things that we got to be better at. When those guys were hitting it together, and one of the big sacks we had, it was Chase's sack in the game, we actually had all four guys at the quarterback on the same time. That's what we've got to get back to, is being coordinated in our rush and understanding what the guy next to me is doing. We got to develop that feel again.
Coach, you're going to have to score this week. Will Curtis play?
Well, we'll see. He had a good week last week as far as getting back on track. We'll see how he is today. We'll see how he is on Wednesday.
Coach, best of luck against Green Bay. Thanks, as always, for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. Yep. You guys have a good week, and harass somebody else.
Yeah. All right, let's get a W.
Will do.
All right, guys.
All right, thank you, Coach. All right, thank you, Coach.
Eric, why didn't you tell Coach Rivera that you should put your entire 401k on the Packers money line, like you said earlier?
You all ran out of time. Look at
that. Oh, is that what it is?
That's what happened.
I mean, if you really wanted to.
You just told him get a dub.
Well, yeah, get a dub, and then we stop harassing.
Yeah.
That's true.
That was Head Coach Ron Rivera, brought to you by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and electrical. Absolutely the best for absolutely the best service. Call 877-CALL-FUR or visit fhfur.com. If you missed any portion of the show, I was going to say it's okay, but it's not really okay.
No.
But if you did, you can go to the Odyssey app. If you missed our interview with Wes Unseld Jr., the new head coach of the Washington Wizards, you can get that on the Odyssey app. We didn't have time to talk to him about the fact that one of his players just reached an extension with the team, and it blew JP's
mind. It's blowing my mind. And I like him as a player, but...
So Daniel Gafford and the Wizards have agreed to a 3-year, $40 million extension.
Gafford.
And JP was like, can you believe the amount of money that Daniel Gafford
signed for? Valdez said had never heard of him.
And I said, yes, I can believe it. That's kind of the going rate for, you know, a bench piece that's semi-productive in the NBA is 13-some million dollars per year.
And then
I can believe it.
You mentioned former University of Maryland star Kevin Huerter, who plays for the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he signed a deal that's netting him $16 million a season.
Yeah.
Kevin Huerter, Jason Bishop.
Well, he's a starter.
Or I understand he's a starter.
If you're going to be a starter, you're going to make it.
$16 million?
That's
nothing.
He's the going rates.
He's not a silly starter. He's okay.
No, but what did he average? Let me see what he
I'm going to guess he averaged about 13, 14.
You know what he is? He's a solid NBA player that can stroke it from outside.
Well, hold on. If he's averaging 13, let's see. He averaged, why can't I find it here? 10.
Oh, he only averaged 10.
No, he was at 12. All right, so he went from 12 to, he's basically at 12.2. I mean, 12.2, that's going to get you that kind of contract. I'm sorry.
That's
this.
Right. In 2021 NBA.
What I said is if Daniel Gafford is making 11, 12 million a year, whatever the math is on that, or 13 million, and Kevin Huerter is making 16 million, LeBron should be making 100 million per year.
He probably is. He probably is in endorsements and everything.
I know, but straight from salary.
Yeah.
Daniel Gafford.
Is a salary cap. You got to stay under it, but. I know it's stunning based on the names, but
It's exploded here in like the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, the money is just incredible in the NBA right now.
Well,
for average to below average players, they're getting stupid contracts.
Should have worked on your jumper more, Jason.
he would have.
Division I college hoops it's impressive.
I mean, he would have made nice money.
The percentage of guys making the NBA is what? 0.1%.
I just hope that my band of misfit toys roster of guys in drabs NBA salary league can actually produce, because I'm about $50 million under the cap.
Right,
I'm taking a very thrifty approach.
By the way, we should remind
people.
And believe
me, JP, my jumper wasn't the problem.
We should remind.
Because I had a jumper.
We should remind people that we're doing a Facebook Live tomorrow at 6:30. Right.
Yes, we are.
I'm going to need a test.
Season preview.
Before they take on the Raptors. For the Wiz.
By the way, I was telling Cakes, you know, you're mentioning all these salaries for these guys, but the Raptors, I just happened to see this. Three guys jump out at me that they kept on their final roster. Yuta Watanabe, right? Remember him from GW?
Sure.
Who always root for. He was like the Japanese player.
He actually got some run toward the end of last season, I want to say.
Yeah, so he made the final roster.
I remember when Lonergan got him.
Oh, he was so psyched.
He said, this kid's going to be money.
Yeah.
I watched him for a couple years at GW. I never thought he was an NBA player. I mean, he was a good college player.
Right.
But I thought, all right, he'll go overseas and play. I can't believe that he's
No. He's there and he's surviving and thriving. And then Isaac Bonga made their roster. Who
you have
I
a
always,
weird fascination with him.
Well, he's 6'8" and he's athletic. Yeah. He can defend. I think he can do a lot of things. And I was stunned by this. I didn't even realize this. He's only 21 years old, and this is going into his fourth season in the league.
I root for him.
He's 21. He's a kid.
I can't tell you how many times.
He's a senior in college.
Like, I was looking for a cheap guy to play in a DFS sweat, and I would click on Isaac Bonga, and then I would look at his line at the end, and he'd give me, like, 2.4 points. Right. And I would say to myself, never pick him ever
again.
Because
they didn't play him. But I think he can play. So, anyway, he made it, and then Sam Decker. Who's here for a minute.
That's right.
Who I remember, obviously, from Wisconsin, right? And
he was
a
really
baller in college.
Great college player.
And just
you know, I think he's got 4 or 5 years into the league, but he's just never really blossomed. So anyway, those
well,
are guys
the Sam Decker
things, the back end of the roster.
If you're looking for obscure wizards, Sam Decker clearly makes your list.
But I love underdogs and obscure guys.
And you know what? He stuck with it because he was in the NBA from 2015 through 2018. Then he played.
I know he played
for
in Europe, all over the world.
Lokomotiv Kuban. That's a Russian team. And then he played for a Turkish team.
Yeah.
And now he's back in the NBA. I do the show with his wife.
Oh, you
do? Inside the Betting Line show with Olivia Harlan Decker.
Smoke show.
She is the daughter of Kevin Harlan.
Ah.
And she's married Sam Decker, and she does really well for herself professionally. But you get your husband to sign an NBA deal.
It's a good deal.
You're in much better shape.
Great deal.
Does she doesn't live here, though, right?
I think she lives over Zoom. I think she lives. Maybe in Nashville?
She lives in Kansas City.
Oh, there you go, Kansas City.
So that makes
right.
sense because I was like, why does this woman follow me? Because I just noticed that she follows me.
Hmm. Yeah, I do the Inside the Betting Line show. She comes on.
Family,
she's got a big-time deal with BetMGM. Sometimes she's at the casinos out there in Vegas.
Good for her.
And then I do like a little Sunday night preview, Monday night preview with her and whoever is the co-host.
I mean, I also have a deal with BetMGM. JP does, but I'm guessing it pales in comparison to, I don't know, Jamie Foxx's deal with BetMGM. Guys are getting paid, like Jamie Foxx.
How much is JB Smoove? And I know he's not BetMGM, he's Caesars.
Yeah, yeah.
How much is JB Smoove making for doing those
millions.
Spots?
I would guess millions,
millions?
Of dollars.
I don't know. How many spots does he do? I know he does the one big one with
Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt, but I don't know.
It's probably a pretty good deal.
I'm sure it is.
He's the lead celebrity pitchman for Caesars betting app.
Yeah.
He's making millions.
Well, with those commercials, he's on TV more than anybody else.
He's on TV all the time.
Every commercial break.
I like J.B. Smoove. Do you like J.B. Smoove?
I love him.
He makes me laugh.
He's funny.
Yeah,
dude, you got to watch Curb, E.B. Yeah. I know you're out on Curb.
I'm out
on Larry David.
It's coming back.
Yeah. I like J.B. Smoove.
Yeah. I like him, too.
You're out on comedy.
No, I like J.B. Foxx more because, I mean, he's my
colleague.
He's my brother in arms.
I gotcha.
So, of course, I'm going to lean more towards Jamie Foxx.
Right. Mm-hmm. By the way, somebody is asking me, when is Maryland going to make sports betting legal? There's been some developments in Maryland, right? I remember reading
it's very
something in the last
slow
week.
Moving.
Wasn't there a development like last week?
I don't know. There's a lot of foot dragging. All I know is MGM National Harbor, they're ready.
Right.
They're ready for the turn.
I'm sure everyone's ready.
Last week or so, I read something.
Sure, all the casinos are ready.
Maybe they approved like 3 or 4 Maryland spots.
I don't know. I'm just waiting.
What the hell's going on?
To go on premises and just walk
so
up and place a legal bet.
And when can I play poker again online? This is ridiculous. the sickest, dumbest thing ever.
I'm with you.
It's the best thing to ever happen.
You're going
to
get back to like 14 tabling, aren't you?
Dude, all I do now is sleep.
Yeah, back when life was fun.
I go home and sleep for 2 hours. Work out, drink, rinse and repeat every day.
That's kind of your thing.
Yeah, sleep, workout, maybe throw in a whistle, drink, rinse and repeat.
It's boring Groundhog Day going on.
Yes. Get my poker back.
All right, when we come back, we will get back into the Washington football team. Is it time for a quarterback change here in D.C.? We'll discuss that next here on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.